Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of the show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here with vital insights from God's word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
Okay, Mark chapter 7, we begin a new chapter. I think we only spent a couple weeks or so in chapter 6, and chapter 7 we're going to cover, more than half of this chapter this evening. Beginning at verse 1, now keep in mind, Jesus had just been healing the sick in mass. I mean, he's been, in the Gospel of Mark, I mean, we've already seen on numerous occasions to where Jesus is healing, casting out demons, miracles, just doing wonderful things. And by this time, he has a great throng of people. Wherever he goes, whatever village he enters into, there's excitement. There's people bringing the sick to him and what have you. In fact, the end of chapter 6 says in verse 53, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored to the shore. When they got out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him and ran about the whole country and began to carry here and there on their pallets those who were sick to the place they heard he was. Wherever he entered villages or cities or countryside, they were laying the sick in the marketplaces and imploring him that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak. And as many as touched it were being cured. And we left off in those verses last time, and I just made reference to them, and we talked about the woman and the garment and her garment, or Jesus' garment being touched and what have you. That harks back to the tassels, and when the Son of Righteousness comes, he'll come with healing in his wings, and which is quite interesting because the tassels of the garments were called the wings, and the belief was the Messiah would come with healing in his tassels. And it's interesting because through faith in the Messiah, just touching the wings of his garments, so not that the wings had any special power in themselves, but faith in Jesus as Messiah, power was released through him, through faith in touching him. And I've encouraged you, we need to go to Jesus often. We all have things that we need to be touched with, healed by daily, you know. And then in chapter 7, it's quite interesting because all of this is going on. Keep the context in mind. Then we read the Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered around him when they had come from Jerusalem and had seen that some of his disciples were eating their bread with impure hands, that is, unwashed. Interesting. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the traditions of the elders. Now, isn't that interesting? All these healings are going on. Jesus is healing people right and left, and people are being touched and delivered from, you know, lifelong diseases in some cases. The dead are being raised, the blind, their eyes are being opened, the deaf are able to hear, the lame can walk, and these guys are worried about the way the disciples wash their hands. And that's quite interesting because they have come, basically, there's jealousy in their hearts because the Pharisees were the spiritual leaders of the day, and yet so many throngs are turning to Jesus. And rather than looking at the messianic claims and who he is, they're more concerned about their following. Even when Jesus first came on the scene, you remember, Herod had all the children under 2 years old put to death. He was worried about his position. And the scriptures reveal to us that the Pharisees had various motives. One was that they would not, Jesus himself said, that they were saying in their hearts they would not have him reign over them. They wanted the position of rulership. They didn't want to allow Messiah to reign over them. If you get into Isaiah 28 and other passages, you see that it prophesies that many of them would be drunkards, that they would have a pact with death, all kinds of crazy things going on with the leadership in Israel at the time. In fact, Jewish leaders said that, even admitted later, you know, that the Pharisaical system, the leadership was corrupt at this time. Now, it's interesting that they're trying to find fault in Jesus. And notice at the end it says they're upset. Why? Because the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the traditions of the elders. The elders had traditions. Many of those traditions found their way into the Talmud. If you've heard of the Talmud, the Talmud is the Jewish commentary on Torah. Torah is your Old Testament law, the first five books. Tanakh is the word that's used by Jews often to describe the rest of the books in the Old Testament. And the Talmud basically was the Jewish opinions as to how to keep Torah. And many of those traditions that found themselves into the Talmud were already around even in Jesus' day. Oftentimes you'll find rabbis arguing and debating with each other throughout Talmudic literature. But they followed Talmudic, or what we would just call pre-Talmudic, but that which became much of Talmudic tradition. And they were very careful about how they washed their hands, and they washed them often. And verse 4 says, "And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they cleanse themselves. And there are many other things which they have received in order to observe, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots." Verse 5, "The Pharisees and the scribes asked him, 'Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands?'" Now, this is very important for us to understand as to a dividing point, a dividing line between Jesus and the Pharisees. And even to this day, why many Jews, Orthodox Jews, conservative Jews, miss Jesus. And a lot of it is based on the damning oral tradition of men. You see, their traditions, they had traditions about how you used to slaughter a cow. They had that you had to go by to this day, you know, kosher type laws that are not found in the Bible. There are some kosher principles in the Bible and hygienic laws that are great in the Bible. We've studied some of them, amen, to keep Israel safe from certain diseases, to make them unique among the peoples. Except what happened is Jewish tradition went beyond those, or beyond the written scripture, and they established an oral tradition. In fact, many Jewish leaders, authorities, rabbis, leading rabbinical authorities through the years, say that there is oral tradition along with the Torah, along with the Word of God, and they put them on equal ground, and that's not even totally accurate. In many cases, they put oral tradition over and above the Word of God. And here, they're judging Jesus' disciples based upon what? Their oral traditions. Their traditions, that they're not washing their hands the way the Bible doesn't say to wash their hands a specific way, but their traditions were quite interesting. You see, when they would wash their hands, they would have to do it between every course. If there was a four-course meal, you'd wash your hands before the first course, the second, the third, and the fourth. And what you would do is get an eggshell and a half of water between each course. And you'd have to bring that water on your, pour it on your hands, and then it'd be poured on your hands, and then you would let it run down to your elbows. As soon as it hit your elbow, then you would turn it down, your arms downward, and you would wait till the water hit your fingertips, and then you were considered clean. And by the way, why do we clean our hands? To clean our hands, right? But if you didn't go by this magical tradition made up by men, you were somehow still impure. Oh, by the way, after they did that, they had to rub their fists together, okay? So, you know, it's interesting. Just like when Jesus said that man was not made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath was made for man. And they made the Sabbath, which is supposed to be a day of rest, by adding all these certain laws that God never added, a day of work. People would regret the Sabbath coming, you know? It's supposed to be a day of rest. And now instead of just washing your hands, there has to be this ritual before you're considered pure. But the whole objective of washing your hands is to have clean hands, not to do it a certain way because some rabbis got together and said, this is the way it should be done. You see, they were to go, the Jews, when there was a dispute between two neighbors, according to the law, they were to go to the Levitical priest and they were to judge and help decide and give wisdom concerning a certain matter. you know? And the Pharisees came around. They weren't Levitical priests. They emerged between the Old and the New Testament. They weren't Levitical priests. And they assumed that role. And I'm not saying that that role wasn't useful to keep them from paganism and things of that nature. Jesus even discussed obeying those who sit in the seat of Moses. However, he did not condone it when they went beyond the word of God, when they went beyond scripture. And what happened is they developed all these different traditions, all these different, you know, bizarre things that were going on. And in verse 6, and he said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, actors. As it is written, the people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Isn't that interesting? Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. Wow. Verse 9. He was also saying to them, you are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your what? Tradition. Now, they're missing the big picture of Messiah being in their very midst because they're judging Jesus and his disciples based on the way the disciples are washing their hands. These disciples did not go through the rabbinical schools. If they washed their hands in the traditional way according to oral law, however it may have specifically manifested in their own lives, they certainly were not observing the traditions. You see a big difference between the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the time and Jesus. They were constantly serious about observing tradition, and Jesus was constantly, when he would debate them, when he'd speak to them, he was constantly saying, it is written. He held the word of God in the highest esteem. The scriptures tell us that God puts his word as, you know, as high as himself. It's his word. And you cannot put men's traditions above the word of God. And therefore, Jesus basically, I mean, he says that these people are drawn with their lips close to him, but their hearts were far from him. And we have to be careful of that. Because the Bible says in the last days, terrible times will come. And I mean, we are living in incredibly terrible days. I mean, I was just talking to a couple brothers today about how it's, you know, we're agreeing, basically all agreeing that everything is so inverted. And years ago, not too long ago, you know, for instance, the gays were ashamed of that behavior and we're not coming out of the closet and all that. And now gays are out of the closet and Christians feel ashamed to proclaim the truth of God's word. And they're in the closet in a lot of cases. Absolutely. I mean, and the Bible says last days, terrible times will come. But one of the things it says, it speaks of those who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. A form of godliness but deny the power thereof. You have to make sure that we are not like these Pharisees where we have the name of God on our lips, we sing all these beautiful songs, but our hearts are far from him. You don't want to go through the motions, folks. You don't want to get to the point where you're just kind of, you know, going through the motions, you know, getting involved in church because, hey, you've been going to church for years, but your heart's far away from the Lord. If you feel like your heart is far from God, you need to ask the Lord, just say, Lord, have mercy on me and help me to return to my first love. Amen. Help me to get back to where I was with you. Help me to do the things I did at first. Repent and do the things I did at first. That's what Jesus says to the church at Ephesus who left their first love. We want to make sure that we don't become modern-day Pharisees. We want to make sure that we, you know, it's a sad thing when somebody knows the truth, but their hearts are not right with Jesus, because then you become cantankerous, become a grumpy, pharisaical type of Christian where you know the difference between right and wrong, but you're whining and complaining and you're not glorifying Jesus and seeking him, but you're just, you know, upset with everybody and everything, and it becomes all about you. Don't let that happen. Let it be all about Jesus, amen? Still about Jesus. We have to have the truth, and we have to have the truth with the heart for God, amen? With the passion for Jesus, with a love for God, amen? And we've always preached that here. We can't just have love without truth. We can't just have truth without love, amen?
You're listening to a message by pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings.
Yet these men, Jesus says, their hearts were far from the Lord. They were more concerned about their words and the words of their elders as to how to wash their hands with an eggshell and a half of water, hands up, hands down, knuckles rubbed. And if you don't do it that way, you're impure. How can you can imagine some of their talks? How can Jesus be the Messiah? Look, his disciples, look how they wash their hands. They don't even know the secret hand wash, you know, or whatever it was, you know, and whatever they were saying. And Jesus is rebuking them because they're missing the reality, because if they really loved the Lord and they were seeking him, they would recognize the Messiah. He said as much over and over again. You see that a lot in the Gospel of John. And it's amazing because he says that they're experts in verse 9 of Mark 7 at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. What happens is God's word gets pushed aside. When we elevate tradition above God's word, we're in huge trouble. And the church is doing that right now. Many so-called Christians are doing that right now. I mean, many, many churches right now will no longer speak against homosexuality because of the tradition of what's popular in the world now. Even that issue I just brought up. And it's amazing what is going on right before our very eyes. Now, when you consider this, I think it's interesting. They had about what would be equivalent to 65 pages, written pages of how to wash your hands in Jewish literature at a bare minimum. That is amazing when you think about it, and how they set aside the truth of God's word to emphasize the oral law in many cases. In fact, look at verse 9. He was also saying to them, verse 10. This is right after he says they set aside the law of Moses for their traditions, God's word. Verse 10, he says, Jesus says, "For Moses said, honor your father and your mother. And he who speaks evil of father and mother is to be put to death." So it's interesting. He's quoting Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, and 21:17. He's conflating two different verses. He's talking about the seriousness of honoring your father and your mother. And then he's talking about the seriousness that you could even be put to death. And honoring father and mother just wasn't being respectful. It was helping them out financially when they got older, when need be, making sure that they weren't destitute. They didn't have a welfare system like we do today. So if you were a parent and you got older and you couldn't work anymore, they didn't have big old IRAs and retirement funds and things of that nature. Families took care of each other. And you were to honor your parents by helping them out. And even today, that command still holds. And what's interesting is Jesus says, look at verse 11, "But you say, if a man says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that would help you is Corban, that is to say, given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that." And Corban means dedicated to God. So what would happen is mom and dad might come over, or mom or dad, and they may be starving to death, and say, "Can you spare some bread? You know, I raised you." And guess what? They could say, "Corbin, this is dedicated to God. I can't give it to you." And they could just start dedicating everything to God. You know? And then all of a sudden, Corbin became like a magic word. "It's Corbin, sorry." And their parents could starve to death. And the priest would be okay with that. "Corbin, okay, it's Corbin." Because guess what? If they're dedicated to God, maybe the priest gets part of that, or whatever the thoughts were. So Jesus was basically right here, and I love the example he uses. He uses a great example of how God's law was meant to bless and help and parents being honored, but a son could say, "Sorry, pops, this is Corbin. Sorry, mom, this is Corbin. Can't help you." And that was an acceptable practice in Jesus' day. And he's giving them a great example as to how their traditions that were handed down to them were used to trump Scripture. We're not saying all traditions are bad, but when a tradition contradicts God's law, God's word, or is elevated above God's word, then it is evil. Then it is wrong. then it is bad. There's traditions that don't contradict Scripture. We have a tradition called Thanksgiving in this country. It doesn't contradict Scripture. In fact, praise God, it's with a scriptural principle that we should be thankful for all things. So it's interesting. They also twisted, the rabbinical leaders, twisted Psalm 119, 126, which says, "It is time for you to act, O Lord, for your law is being broken." See that psalm? "It's time for you to act, O Lord, for your law is being broken." They twisted it to mean this, quote, "Sometimes in order to act for the Lord, it is necessary to dissolve his laws." That's a pretty radical twist, huh? That was a rabbinical twist. Okay, quite interesting. And it's interesting because I love it, because when you go through scriptures, you see how Jesus, he's the Messiah, but when you see him being rejected, you see he's being rejected not based on the Old Testament law, not because he didn't meet the messianic prophetic proclamations in the Old Testament. On the contrary, even though some Jews today, when they debate the messianic claims of Christ, will try to claim that, hey, this is what the Messiah should look like. When you look at what they were looking for in Messiah, in the Mishnahs, the commentaries, before Jesus even came on the scene, you see that they were also looking for a suffering servant Messiah. Now, according to Judaism, they don't want anything to do with that kind of Messiah, but that's not what they believed back then. But when Jesus came, and it came time to recognize their sin, even of the leadership, that they all needed their Messiah and forgiveness of their sins, that didn't go over too well, especially for the Pharisees, who were considered holier than thou and acted as though they weren't in need of forgiveness and everybody else was a sinner. Now, it's interesting because even the Talmudic literature and the Jewish authorities acknowledge and claim that tradition plays an incredibly high place, the oral tradition. Because now the Jews, we look at the Word of God and we look at Jesus and we see it is written and we go by the Word of God, amen? The Jews taught that there was the Old Testament law, but there was also oral tradition that was given to the leaders, and that the oral tradition continued to be handed down, you see? And they made it equivalent with Scripture. So some problems with this, though. Nowhere in the Scripture do we read about this secondary or this oral tradition that they were supposed to go by along with Scripture. We don't read about that. Also, it's interesting, there were times where, remember, before Josiah, they forgot God's law? They didn't have his written law. They didn't, you know what I'm saying? Well, how much more easily would they forget the so-called oral law, right? How would that be retrieved? And Jesus would have none of it, the oral law, the oral traditions. In fact, it's interesting, when you go to Israel, it could be really hard to witness to Jews that are into the oral tradition because they look at it as binding. They look at their sages that interpret Scripture as on par with Scripture. The ones that are easier to witness to, the Jews in Israel are, as far as Jews that are steeped in the Old Testament, are the Ethiopian Jews. Why? Because they're not bound by the Talmudic literature. They're not bound by all the traditions. They're just reading the Old Testament.
You've been listening to pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.
Our life, it comes down to just one thing.